Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome, students, teachers, students, internet and radio show. This morning we'll be discussing when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And this morning we have a number of people that have committed to joining our show. And without further ado, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we covered last week and why we had some popular demand to continue our discussion on roles and responsibilities of students and teachers. So we spoke about this being someone who has a willingness to learn. Not necessarily someone who is sitting in a classroom in an academic environment, that's included, but also the person who is willing to learn and become self-educated, be involved in lifelong learning. In addition, we talked about the teacher, meaning or devaluing our academic teachers who spent many years, as myself, preparing to teach academics and sometimes even extracurricular things without demeaning them, because they are included in being the teacher. But there's an expansion that I'd like you to look at as the concept, and that is that is anyone that is willing to teach, willing to take the knowledge that they have accomplished in their lifetime, whether it is what we call the common sense knowledge, or I call it the love sense knowledge, and also the academic components. We have some people on the air right now, and we'd like to welcome them. Good morning. You're on Blog Talk Radio, show student to teacher to student. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are?
Nazim Rashid.
Please introduce. Sounds like a familiar voice. You are the co-host of Student to Teacher to Student, and it's a pleasure always to have you on the show. And I know you have some wonderful things to share with us today about Ready. And as we continue on with our show, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead and welcome them. Good morning. Welcome to Student to Teacher to Student Internet Radio Show. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. This is Dorothy Rashid,
a
resource consultant.
Another co-host for us this morning who's joined us and will have some wonderful things to share with us. We want to focus, reviewing the aspect of student to teacher expansion that we at White Apple Institute work on. Both of the people that you're hearing on the line right now, Dorothy, our resource consultant, and Nazim Rashid is a personal development consultant for White Apple Institute. So the author of Connecting to Our Youth, and you want to get that book as soon as it comes out, it's ready for publication, which will be very soon. But if you want to put in right now, just go ahead and log in to WhiteAppleInstitute.org or call us at 1-480-659-8582. And let us know, write me a copy of that Nazim Rashid's book, Connecting to Our Youth. I heard this a student to teacher to student radio show, and I'm excited about what he has to say. Well, in addition to that, we welcome our callers to call in on our, so that they can be part of our discussion this morning. And that number, please make sure you take this down and keep this in your files or in your cell phone. Keep numbers in my cell phone. That keeps me up to date. And the guest call-in number for you to call 646, that's 1-646-727-3758. And we'll be repeating that number throughout the show, myself or our other co-hosts, so that you can call in and let us know what you think about what we're saying. Well, one of the things, Nazim and Dorothy, if you feel like elaborating a little bit on, is that part two of our theme, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, is, of course, like I said earlier, expanding the concept, but talk a little bit about faith in ourselves and higher expectations in the optimism that we all must have as two students and teachers, and balance between the two. That's so important, and we brought that out last week. So we hope that students and teachers will call in and give us their opinion about what we're talking about. One of the things I elaborated on a little bit with you, Nazim, last week was faith. You know, having those higher expectations of something optimistic. Is there anything you'd like to say about that?
Well, yes, a lot there, actually. And so we have to have some kind of vision of liberation, vision of success, vision of what winning means, vision of making it, vision of succeeding, vision of graduating. If we don't have a vision of our next higher position, then that vision will never become a reality. Therefore, it takes a lot of faith. It takes an idea of having good self-image, an idea of what is okay for ourselves to have. So that's first and foremost, having the right vision for ourselves of what we want to be. That's real key.
And, you know, that falls so closely into what I wanted to say about visualizing ourselves as the student and as the teacher, that when we look in the mirror at ourselves, that we envision what we want to share with others in this lifetime, what our purpose is. And, you know, it's real. I'll just share my own personal experience that I've envisioned myself as a teacher and interested in how people learn pretty much all of my life, but definitely for the last 30 years. And that self-image started to build as each day went by and I began to visualize myself standing in front of a classroom and also being seated in a classroom listening to someone else. And if that self-image wasn't having some expectations about how I was going to succeed, it wouldn't work. I knew that. And I hope that we can empower the students, the adult learners that come to White Apple Institute, to begin to envision themselves as effective and successful students, and also as effective and successful teachers. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
And I know one thing, when I go back into conversations that I've had with one of our other co-hosts here, who's our resource consultant, I know that optimism is also a very big part, because I've seen her optimism grow as not only her self-image grew, but also her image, her visualization of White Apple Institute and this video that we are now doing to promote our mission. Wouldn't you agree, Dorothy?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
You know, how do you see the optimism? Do you feel it since the very first time that you became involved with the mission of White Apple Institute and then and where you are now? You can see the growth, can't you?
Yes. Yes, because just showing others how to do things, for example, how to do basic computer skills. That was rewarding to me to see that something I took for granted helped someone else and that they grew from that.
And you know, in addition to that, and I certainly am not trying to shoot air. I really am very sincere about the fact that not only have you been a very good example of being a student and a teacher, but you have done tremendous outreach. You've shared your knowledge and experience and your skills with others, which only can, as the expression goes, it can only, you allow your light to shine. And by allowing your light to shine and not shrinking in that light and turning it down, you're turning it up and you're allowing other people to share in the light, giving them a permission to do that, as Mandela did Marianne Williamson's speech, okay, on the factor that we are not, it's not fear that we are concerned about, it is our inadequacies. And so I really appreciate what you've done. I'd like to talk a little bit about this concept of teacher and student. And I want to bring up another point as we've talked about faith and higher expectations and this optimism. I want to continue with this theme, and please let me know if I'm a little off the path, because I want to really come back and present a balanced approach. This readiness concept is very important as far as balance is concerned. And what I find a lot is that teachers, those that have academic training, and those who also have engaged in understanding multiple intelligence. Now, this concept of multiple intelligences, and I promise you that I'm not going to get into using words that are not familiar to us. Let me just break it down a little bit, because this is a psychologist, Dr. Gardner, who brought out multiple intelligences. You're probably aware of this, right, Nazim and Dorothy? You might be aware of the concept, okay? What he talked about was the factor that this multiple intelligence concept is that we can be skilled in so many different areas. And Nazim, you and I have spoken about this. We find students that may not be able to make it on the academic level, but they may be able to make it as, you know, as a carpenter. There's a whole genre of vocational skills that they become very successful in. And I notice now that about 10 years ago, I started working with young women and helping them in the to become plumbers and electricians. And they couldn't make it maybe academically. Their math skills weren't there, and their English 101 and 102 skills weren't there, okay? But helping them and advising them to take the vocational path and using another intelligence allowed them to not only become successful in a great trade, and actually, I hate to admit it, be more money than some of our college graduates. You agree?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's something that, you know, I mean, and parents, as well as teachers, we encourage you, whether you are academically certified or whether you are a teacher in a church or a community agency, counselors are also teachers, that you expand your concept and understand that the student or the kid sits in front of you may be showing you grades on a transcript of C's and maybe D's and maybe that you don't become so involved in, let's say, not discouraging them, but that maybe you expand their knowledge and say, you know what, you can do other things that you can do without it being a put down. Because I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Nazim, that in the academic arena, you start talking about vocational skills and especially things in the entertainment industry and the art classes, we usually withdraw our voices in some way. Our body language changes as if there's something wrong with taking that particular path. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Sure, of course.
And any of our other callers that want to call in, here's the guest call-in number again. It's 646-727-3758. And you should be logged in to blogtalkradio.com with a / of student to teacher to student. Well, let me just go on a little about that, because that's the balance that I'm trying to impart to teachers as they sit in my classrooms, because I teach the teachers of America, I like to call them, and also teachers that are being recertified. And again, what I would like to impart to you is this balance of, as I talk to you, the student or the client, about your academic grades on your transcript, that in the same voice and with the same enthusiasm that I talk about academic intelligence, that I also shut that door with the same enthusiasm for vocational skills. Many of the students that come to White Apple Institute have not made it very well in the academic arena. That doesn't mean all of them, but I'm saying the majority of students have had some true at-risk issues. And I'll let you talk a little bit at-risk issues on that theme. But I'm going to say that at-risk issues, because I had a call the other day, and it was very interesting. A student called and said, well, I don't know if I'm really at risk, but I don't understand a lot about English, the English language. Well, definitely risk student, and he's trying to get into a university setting. And what I'm trying to suggest to him, and something that maybe our listeners will pick up, is that and not to demean or devalue again the university setting or four-year colleges, because they have their validity. But we certainly want a successful student. We want successful outcomes. And so to try to qualify when you haven't had the academic transcript doesn't show your ability to succeed in the English language or with grades of at least a 3.5 and above, then I suggest that people take the community college route and spend 2 years at least in a more nerd environment with the same academic equivalency. Mind you again, let me say that again for those listeners out there, with the same academic equivalency as you would receive in a university setting. The community college has to be in compliance with the accreditation. Now, I don't know, have you, any of you, any listeners out there, please discuss this. Have you had any experience seeing students that haven't had the academic ability to succeed in a university or four-year college, but you've had to suggest vocational or community college pathway? Please feel free to call in, or the listeners that are on the line now, please jump in and tell me if you've had any experience with that. Nazim, I'm sure you were at-risk students, so would you please, you know, maybe one of your greatest examples.
Sure. Well, sure. But there are a lot of examples. I was trying to let someone else say something in this area, so I wouldn't be the one talking in this area a lot. But yeah, there are a lot of examples. Well, first of all, I've dealt with a lot of students who have been subject to illicit drug abuse out there, and I've dealt with a lot of students in the recovering community, and so you have. In that community, you have a lot of low self-esteem, low self-image, and voices that these students are saying inside themselves that tell them that succeeding and doing well in life is for other people. And so they feel real uncomfortable in academic settings and so forth, and so we have to paint another picture for them. So therefore, it all starts with, what do you like to do? What makes you feel good? What gives you joy? You see? What gives you joy? We start there. And so if we start just there, not looking at any expectations from them, just asking them, what do you feel you're good in? you see, and we start there. They might say, well, you know, I do like to read a lot. I'm in the library all the time. Okay, we'll start there. What do you like to read about? What interests you in the books and so forth? So you start those questions. And after a while, now, you know, they might actually be convinced to go back to school in a very academic setting. Or they might feel that going to a vocational program is better, you know. Maybe an art institute.
Right.
There are a lot of artists out there who are homeless who just, they have a thing for art. They want to do their art. It might transfer into graphic design on computers, you see.
Exactly.
So, so therefore, we have to look at where they are and so forth. So then by us helping them where they feel they can go inside themselves, then you have a successful path. It could be maybe a traditional college or maybe a vocational institute or maybe just say some other kind of a learning institution that brings out the best in them where they can do the best for themselves.
You know, and that's interesting when you brought this now. The first thing I did was I went back to your enamelment when we started our show Student to Teacher to Student. And I remember you talked about how you have to envision your self-image. And I guess that kind of falls into what you were saying just now, that, you know, when you talk about what do you like to do, what really makes you feel comfortable, it's, you know, part of that vision, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Sure it is. Sure it is. They have to see that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people have never asked them those kind of questions because a lot of folks have not shown interest in them and so forth. So now this is a whole new kind of spotlight on themselves. So they're saying, yeah, well, okay, I guess I can look in the mirror and ask myself, you know, what makes you feel good? Sure, why not? You know, and that's what we need to do is I call it new age teachers. We need to kind of now see the goal in all these students and help them see it themselves. You see, not to impose, but to help them bring out what's already inside themselves.
Exactly, exactly. And that's sometimes a very difficult thing for people to begin to envision themselves and to see a positive image of themselves. I remember just recently I was speaking to one of our counselors who's involved in the justice system, the juvenile justice system, and she was explaining to me how difficult it is for students to, for the clientele that come into her, to envision a positive picture of themselves. You know, that even when she tries her best to encourage them, to close their eyes and what do you see? And unfortunately, they see the horrors in their life.
Yes.
And so we have to move them, yes, and move them to some balance in that. We can't tell, okay, what you went through didn't exist. We know that that's part of your life and that's part of your history. But in order for us to work with you so that you can be a successful student, to that young man or mature young man, it could be a 40-year-old student that we're working with, that we tell them, in addition to you becoming this great student, and I know you want to do this, I know you want to be successful, that we'll want to empower you that to envision yourself one day as a teacher. Boy, is that a mind blower to some of them.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And, you know, I mean, I hear it all the time. Professor Applewhite, how can I envision myself as a teacher? I don't even envision myself as a student. Okay? Because they're not at readiness. And I'd like to move to readiness. We have another caller online right now. Welcome this caller on. Good morning. You are on Student to Teacher to Student Blog Talk Radio Show. Radio, how are you? This is Professor Applewhite.
Good afternoon. Good morning. My name is Angelo Walker.
Oh, Angelo. Good morning. One of our very successful students with White Apple Institute who's working on, right now, a perfect example on that visualization of himself. And Angelo, do you mind if I give a little history of your success?
Please do.
Okay. Angelo, just to give a great summary, and for those listeners that are out there, listen carefully. This young man came to White Apple Institute after a chance meeting with myself at the VA hospital, and he spoke to me about the things that he used to do and the things that he wished that he could become again. But dealing with physical issues along with emotional issues, he felt uncomfortable visualizing himself. Going back to what Nazim said a while ago, is that envision of ourselves. And it was difficult for Angelo. And I just, this morning, I can't help but applaud, and I mean applaud, that Angelo has now begun, after so many sessions with us all together, he has begun to see himself as someone moving forward and becoming part of White Apple Institute as a volunteer staff member, become involved in increasing his computer skills, and to be available to students who have dealt with addiction issues. He's not a counselor, but just to hear his own story about how he moved from a very, very sad place to now a very successful place. And I just can't help but continually applaud you. Well, did I give a pretty good summary of your background?
Yes, you did. You know, yeah, very good summary.
Yeah. You know, I don't go into detail unless you want the detail, but, you know, for those listeners out there who sometimes are not aware of how we have to be at readiness, that readiness takes some time. It's not, you know, as we talk about this morning, this is the theme, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So now, if we're really talking about readiness, when is the student really ready? And that readiness has to come from what Nazim talked about earlier, that vision. That's the first thing, right, Nazim?
That's right, absolutely.
Right. And Angela, do you see that as being the first thing that had to happen for you, is that you had to move into actually beginning to see yourself doing something in your life?
Well, I use a saying as it goes, when a pain outweighs the pleasure, it's time to make a change. I'm going to move on and move in.
Say that once more. Say that once more for us, Angela.
Pain outweighs the pleasure. It's time to make a change and move ahead.
Oh, yes, I have heard you say that before, when the pain outweighs the pleasure. And that you've associated that concept with addiction and the addiction that many of us have to not just drugs. I mean, people automatically go to drugs, don't they, when we talk about addiction, whether they're prescribed or street drugs. But you and I have had...
It's all about...
Say that again?
Not just about the drugs, okay? It's about a lifestyle, okay?
Yes.
For me, it was food. It was money. It wasn't just the drugs, but it was a whole bunch of other things all wrapped up in one. Okay, that's outside of myself. And it made me a very unmanageable person. So... like I said, it wasn't just the drugs. It was food. It was money. It was sex. It was everything. You know, a lot of things that I liked in life. But they weren't any good for me, so I had to make a change. It was either succeed or die. That's it. You know, move ahead or die. And I got tired of being stagnated, just being still, stuck in that same old daily grind, daily, you know, lifestyle. And things changed for me. And when I made a change, life got better, a whole lot better. You know?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit clear, if you don't mind, just coming in a little bit clear. We've got some static on your line. And so we just ask, because we don't want to miss any of the valuable things that you're saying to us this morning. So if you could just put your adjust your cell phone a little bit more, so that we can hear you a little bit. What I heard you say...
Do I need to put it on 06 anymore?
No, you don't have to do star 6 at all on this call to mute your phone. Just stay right on the line. I just want to elaborate a little bit about what you just said just now for our listeners out there. You're on Student to Teacher to Student and at Radio Show under Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate our listening audience. Please feel free to call in with your comments at 1-646-727-3758. We're now listening to Angelo, one of the students of White Apple Institute. And what he's been saying to us, that I'm going to summarize a little bit more, is that there are many types of addictions. And before you get to an addiction with drugs some of the harmful things that we always talk about, addiction to sex, addiction, addiction to codependency. But before that even happens, and we see it happening even after we remove drugs from an individual's life, or they remove the drugs from their life, we see an addiction to chaos that remains. And this addiction to chaos is right in with that balance that we were talking about earlier, about readiness, being at balance, readiness. Are you still addicted to chaos? Because if you're still addicted to chaos in your life, and here's how you can know that, students and teachers out there, that when things are going very, very well in your life and you can't seem to understand what's wrong, that's what I said, W-R-O-N-G. When things are going so right in your life and you're like, what's wrong? Something wrong? Because you're not accustomed to things being balanced in your life. You're not accustomed to sharing an optimism with other people. And that's what we hope within the White Apple Institute, that we help students to find that balance of optimism, that they begin to have higher expectations for themselves. Teachers, we expect and hope that you will have higher expectations for your students. Without further ado, we're going to bring on Naeem Rashid to share a little bit from his book, Connecting to Our Youth, that's going to fit into the pattern of that we've been talking about. He's going to elaborate a little bit on this concept of building faith in yourself. And if you were in any way enchanted by the music at the beginning of the show, Naeem Rashid's music from this Renaissance CD, and that is available through White Apple Institute venues that he may share with you as he closes. But we're going to welcome him to share some things with us. Thank you, Naeem Rashid.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I know we started talking about optimism last week, and I think it's very important for us to really, really internalize what this really does. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to just read a little bit from the optimism chapter and see if we can get a better grasp, because I'm telling you, many times when I'm talking to students and even colleagues about the idea of optimism, the colleagues all agree and students kind of say, well, we like to feel good about ourselves, we like to feel the best about ourselves, but when it comes down to it, the energy they put out is still not optimistic, because they're saying it to themselves, the colleagues agree, but internally, they have some issues with it. They say, well, life is what it is, and so forth, and you can't, you know, stop accidents from happening. You can't stop the boss from firing you. You can't stop the teacher from giving you an F stroke if they feel like doing it anyway. You can't stop our mate from arguing with us, but they're going to do it anyway. So they have this idea inside that's contrary to what they're agreeing to. This is why it's so important for us to internalize the spirit of optimism. And when you look in the mirror, if you have that spirit internalized, you can smile when you see yourself. And I don't care if it's first thing in the morning, last thing at night, I don't care. When you look in the mirror, you can always smile when you see yourself if you have the internalized optimism there. It's very, very important. And so we have we have to really feel that. We have to feel that. And if you look in the mirror and you don't feel a certain surge of gratitude, positive energy, thankfulness to God that you're even alive to even do that, then you're falling short in the optimism area inside. So you have to feel that. Like I said before, the definition that I pose is a strong, strong belief that the best is possible and probable in your life. You see, best is possible and probable in your life. So you say to yourself, I believe it's going to happen to me. See, I believe, and it's going to happen to me. You see, and so when you have the idea there, then you say, oh, my God. And now look at the benefits. Improve relationship and experience a more positive reward and positive people. Others are affected by synergy. Improve health. Goals and objectives realized. Self-esteem raised. Self-image expanded. Overall good feeling increased. You see?
Yes.
Now, we all have choices in life to make. Isn't that right? But it's amazing to me when I see people from various segments in our society, be it the highly intelligent, well-dressed, affluent ones, or the misfortunate ones, making wrong, unhealthy choices on a regular basis. Now, why is it, when I say wrong, I'm referring to that which is unhealthy on a physical, emotional, or mental level. See, the idea of cause and effect comes to mind here. If there's a big hole in the street up ahead, is that true? If there's a big hole in the street up ahead and you know it's a hole and you decide to ignore the inner warning and go right into the hole, you have made a choice that is not healthy for you and those with you. If you didn't actually see the hole, but others in the car did, you have no reason to disbelieve them, and you ignore their warning. Going into the hole, you made, a conscious decision that was unhealthy, and those inside your car suffered the consequences of your decision. Now, how would that make you feel afterward, you see? So we have to look at this. We wake up starting a fresh new day on Monday morning, and you make the choice of being in a bad mood because it is Monday, your weekend is over, your playtime is over, your relaxing time is over, your late sleeping in the morning time is over, your job that you don't necessarily like is facing you, your people on a job reminding you of what you don't like is facing you, and all the problems in your life are resurfacing all because it is Monday morning.
Wow.
By the way, you know that the majority of heart attacks in this country happen on Monday morning between 7 and 10 o'clock?
Yes, I've heard the statistics on that. Yes. Right. I've heard the statistics. And I just want to remind our listeners out there, you're listening to Nazim Rashid, personal development consultant, White Aptitude, and we appreciate your call in, listeners. Feel free to call in and discuss Nazim Rashid's points further from his book, Connecting with Our Youth. Call in to 1-646, and we do have another caller online. Let me give that number again, 1-646-727-3758. Let's continue on with Nazim Rashid with that Monday morning optimism, okay?
Here you go. Your day is not going well at all. You stub your toe getting out of bed. You go sit on a toilet and it heals up without you noticing it because you have that awful Monday morning on your mind and you sit on the cold edge. You get in the shower and the hot water doesn't come on for some unknown reason. You're now getting angrier and frustrated, only adding to your level of despair. You get through that some kind of way and someone moves your toothpaste and mouthwash. So, as you are yelling at some family members, blaming them for this crime, you remember leaving it in the other bathroom as you slip on the floor because your feet were still wet. You're now off of your schedule, and your stress level goes up as you look at the clock every 2 minutes. You inhale your coffee as you grab a quick peanut butter and jelly sandwich to eat in the car. You notice as you start the car that your socks don't match each other and that your shirt has a coffee stain on it. You finally get to work.
Oh, my goodness.
you finally get to work.
I tell you nothing. You're talking to me on this one, the PBJ sandwiches in the morning and rushing out the door and trying to maintain that optimism is tough sometimes, Monday morning through Friday morning. And I think that's why when I hear you talking to students, I hear you telling them that they need to change a lot of things in their environment, in their social environment and ethical environment, their associations, which is very difficult to do, especially if you're still living in there.
Absolutely. What happens is that as you start your morning, it's called the negative snowball effect. And what happens
the
is we do it to ourselves. It's called the negative snowball effect. You see,
one thing happens,
and then what happens, the next thing's right behind it. You don't know what's going on. You're falling down a hill. As you're falling down a hill, your problems get worse and worse and bigger. Your stress is bigger. Your frustration is bigger. You know, your anger is bigger. Your dislike is dissatisfaction. The world is bigger and so forth. Your suspicions are bigger. And what happens as it's bigger, it gets bigger because that's the law of attraction. You see? So
right.
That's why we have to stop the train.
you're so wonderful. You have so many different euphemisms that I hear you say from time to time. And when you talked about that negative snowball, a song came to mind from the Temptations a very long time ago, and it talked about when, like a snowball rolling down the side of a snow-covered hill, and the song says, and it's growing. You remember that song?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, when the snowball goes, like everything is growing, it continues to grow and grow and grow. Now, he's talking about his growing, but on the other side, from optimism, is that pessimism that can grow, too. And so that whole Monday morning, and I've seen students, we have a large dropout rate, walkout rate from classrooms on Monday morning than any other day of the week. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and so I was describing the pessimistic syndrome. Right there, you see? And you might not think it, but that's what's going on in your life, you know, one thing after another. You know, now you can turn the whole thing around. Like I said, you got to stop the train. How you stop the train? You got to switch tracks.
That's right.
Well, switch that track. Your tracks that you're on are not leading you to where you want to go.
Switch that track and melt that snowball, right?
You want to melt that.
That's right.
But what happened? How do you switch the track? You got to pull the lever. That takes a conscious effort on your part. You see? That case of, you know, you might say, why would somebody pull the lever? I want somebody to do it. No.
Right.
You're the
right.
Somebody. You know, so you have to consciously pull the lever. That means you have to get out of your box and say, how can I make this change happen? I got to make a change here. You got to pull the lever, switch the track. And then be on another track entirely. Now you have another kind of mindset and perspective entirely.
Wow. Well, then what Angela was saying a little earlier, that the pain outweighs the pleasure, okay?
Yeah.
And so whatever the addiction is, that addiction to chaos, that addiction to pessimism, I'm going to go on another addiction here, to pessimism. And you're saying only thing you have to do is pull the lever. And I know you. I've known you for a long time, Nazim, and I've seen your work, I listened to you speak, and I know for sure that you have never pulled the lever for anyone. And, you know, although guilty of doing that sometimes earlier in my career, I have learned not to pull that lever for anyone. To bring them to a point, they have to pull the lever themselves.
They have to do it. Mm-hmm. I can paint the picture of the lever. I can talk about the benefits of pulling the lever. I can
mm-hmm.
bring them to the point where all they have to do is put their hand out there, you see? But that, for that point, it's up to them.
That's it. Like James Brown said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. And what do we do? What do we do, you know, at White Apple Institute is we crack the door, actually. We don't even open up all the way because we want students to become so empowered that they are able to open up that door and walk through it and not leave any doors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see, that's why I'm applauding Angelo and the other listeners, the other students that are online this morning. And I know sometimes it's a little bashful to speak up on a radio show, whether it's internet or their transmission. But we appreciate that you at least are listening to the show this morning. And we'll continue on as Nazim Rashim begins to close his concept on optimism from his book, Connecting with Our Youth. Go ahead, Nazim.
All right, then. Now, for those who heard what I was talking about the pessimistic syndrome there and its cycle, the negative snowball effect. Okay. Now, how do we turn the whole thing around? How do we do this, okay? It's all about mindset. Now, the murder scenario. Now, here's another one, okay? Now, the same example, but you're on a different channel. You go to bed the night before, Sunday night, feeling great and appreciative for all the good that you have, the family members that love you, the house that provides warmth and comfort, the bed you're about to lie down on that is going to mold your body to a restful, tranquil sleep, and the job tomorrow that you have been blessed to have that's so appreciative of you improving the bottom line of the business and is paying you, which is providing the necessary income to support your household. Monday morning now follows, and you wake up refreshed after having a peaceful rest. You see? Now you wake up before the alarm clock because your body is anticipating a new and wonderful beginning. You get up fully aware of your surroundings, like the dresser drawers and the legs on the other bedroom furniture, so you can glide past these things, avoiding any mishaps, and proceed into the bathroom. You expect the best, knowing that you are worth the best, deserve the best, and are going to receive only the best. All right, I got to repeat that again. You expect the best.
Say that again.
Knowing that you are worth the best, deserve the best, and are going to receive only the best. See, that's key right there. The morning is flowing with your intentions and expectations. Everything is in place, and you have time to prepare and eat a nice, nutritious breakfast because you are ahead of your schedule. You relax
as you eat
and check yourself in the mirror one last time before you leave. As you look at yourself, you say self-esteem building statements and affirmations. You say things like, I love you. You look like $1 million today. I approve of you and love your inner and outer self. You are going to produce miracles today. You are such a blessing to your company. And then some I am affirmation. I am worthwhile.
Oh my God.
Contributing human being. I am protected and guided toward all that is beneficial to me. I am receiving money from known and unknown sources. You go to your car and drive in a relaxed way to work. Your parking space is open for you, and you get your office ahead of time. As you walk into the building, you notice everyone is smiling at you as they greet you. Your boss is happy to see you as he or she gives you a genuine compliment on how you're looking. Now, see how the whole thing changed? As the same kind of situation, Sunday morning to Sunday night to Monday morning, but now you have different results. Why? Because your mind is on a different channel entirely. You see that?
My goodness. My goodness. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Everything you said fits right into the theme for this morning about readiness. That's the readiness. If anyone is listening to the show and wants to know what a concluding statement would be for our show today, it wants you to be at readiness to envision yourself optimistically. Okay?
Right.
We want you to be balanced. We want you to find some balance in your so that you understand your role not only as a student but as a teacher. That everything you do in some way, you are learning something as a lifelong learner, and that you are also teaching someone, even if it's just by someone observing what you are doing, you become a teacher. As a matter of fact, research shows that we learn more from watching people than we do from listening to people. Is that
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay?
Yes.
And you are a positive role model, Brother Nazim Rashid. And we certainly hope that any parents, teachers, students listening to the show today will take advantage of calling White Apple Institute at 480-658-582 and tell us, leave a message for us that you would like a copy of Connecting to Our Youth. And we will put you on the waiting list, and as soon as the publication is finished, Nazim Rashid will get that out to you. We also invite you, we have about 10 minutes remaining, to stay online, and if you feel comfortable calling in, call in 646-727-3758. Before we get into our resource consultant, Dorothy Rashid, and announcements for this week, I'd like to let all of you know that we have a special guest in our studio this morning. Her name is Wendy Duncan, and Wendy has worked with at-risk students for some years, and it's her passion to help White Apple Institute in not only from a financial standpoint, which she has made a very generous donation for our students to continue the work, because all donations given to White Apple Institute go to helping students with anything from with light bills to a coat to a pair of shoes to whatever those little things are that will keep you in school. So teachers, remember that as you're listening. For a moment, I'd like Wendy Duncan to just take a moment and introduce herself and how she feels about the radio show's teacher and also her commitment to White Apple Institute. Wendy?
Yes, good morning. My name again is Wendy Duncan, and I'm very committed to White Apple Institute and the great work that Danita and her staff is doing. And I'd like to explain to you a little bit about what I'm going to speak on today. I'm with Farmers Insurance, and my office is located at 39 South School in Tempe.
Arizona,
yes. And I just want to mention that as students and educators, we get completely insured just to face life's uncertainties. And as Farmers, we certainly offer a wide a variety of services. And having you insured. Not only do we offer auto insurance, we offer home insurance, life insurance, business insurance, annuities, and just a variety of coverages. We offer a new coverage, Identity Shield, and that protects your identity in today's times. Due to high identity theft. And what I'd like to also do is explain what the coverages mean. Bodily injury, property damage, liability. This is one of the most important for your auto policy in terms mm-hmm. of bodily injury.
And that's part of readiness, isn't it? It's
yes.
part of readiness to be at readiness to have the proper insurances.
Absolutely.
Do you know how many times students have accidents and because they're not covered properly? It's like that snowball that Nazim Rashid was mentioning.
Okay.
And before you know it, they're dropping out of school because they have to go to court, and it becomes a tremendous negative snowball.
Exactly.
So thank you to continue sharing with us. What other insurances do you suggest for our students and teachers?
And another one is uninsured, underinsured. It's one of the most important coverages because if you don't have this coverage, you have no recourse if you're hit by an uninsured or underinsured driver, because what underinsured motorist coverage does is compensate you, members of your household and your passengers, up to the limit that you select for bodily injuries from accidents with a motorist who has no insurance. So this is one coverage that you shouldn't neglect to be.
Mm-hmm.
have on your
mm-hmm.
policy. And another important one is the medical coverage. And what this does is pays for medical bills and funeral expenses up to the limit that you select.
What kind of insurance is that again?
It's called medical.
Medical, okay, yeah. Wonderful.
Medpay is what we
mm-hmm.
call it. And it covers you and your family members when you're riding in a car.
Okay, great.
You know, as a passenger right. or someone else's vehicle. When, you know, it's struck by,
another person,
yeah. Yeah. And the company can, of course, everyone should be familiar with what that is. It's you pay a deductible to have your automobile repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the coverages, you know, in terms of explaining what they mean. And I'm open for questions.
We would like you to come on the show again if you have the opportunity. And we'd like you to discuss more about this readiness that have the show theme for next week is empowering the student and teacher within. Empowering the student and teacher within. And so when we talk about empowerment, we're going to expand it. As most of you have noticed, listeners, that White Apple Institute is expansive on things that you already know, but we want you to know a little bit more about it and how you can take part in empowering health and parents empowering your students, your children, and teachers, your students. So with that, we conclude with Wendy Duncan's discussion. Do you have something else you want to share with us?
Yes, I do. The last thing to say is that when an accident or incident occur, remember that Farmers gets you back where you belong.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. That's Farmers. Remember, it's not the other one, okay, because they're supporting the work that we're doing with at-risk adult learners with disabilities. And right now, under ado, we've got about 4 more minutes remaining on the show, and I'd like to turn it over to Dorothy Rashid, one of our co-hosts and our resource consultant. Dorothy? Hello? Dorothy, are you on air?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, that's okay.
Are you able to hear me now?
You're on air now, Dorothy? And
okay.
You were going to talk to us about one of the resources.
Oh, yes, about the library, how our students, anyone at any age can receive. There's lots of information from the library. You can go there for researching about community colleges or about empowerment. There's so many books and on empowering, improving, self-improvement, just learning. Even just the beginning stages of how to go about looking into grants and things like that, a library is a great resource. And for more information on that and how it can help with succeeding in school or at work, please call into White Apple Institute at 480-659-8582 or visit our website, whiteappleinstitute.org. That's it.
Thank you. And for those listeners, you heard that voice of Dorothy Rashid. Make sure you ask for Dorothy if you're interested in resources. And she will also be in connection with Wendy Duncan, who will be glad to talk to you about insurance needs. One of the things that Wendy Duncan has committed to is not only just helping us as with insurance for our own company and our own staff, but also that she's open just to discuss your own coverage, you know, what you presently have, and to see if there's a way that she can add or expand your knowledge about that. Well, we have 2 minutes remaining on the show this morning, and one of the things that I would like to do in closing is ask if anyone else has something that they would like to share. And that could be with, you know, just in your own life, how the Institute has helped you. Angela, would you like to close and say something about how the Institute has helped you and what you see yourself doing in the future?
Well, the Institute has helped me into believing that I'm able to do things that I've never, ever done before. And one of the things that I'm really interested in learning how to do is using work a computer.
Good.
I need to get with you, Danita, or Dorothy, or anybody who can help me do this. And because there are a lot of things in life I need to explore, and this with this new world and new age and stuff going on, you know, I need to be up to times with things.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Angela. We have 1 minute remaining, and I'd like to thank you so very much for sharing that, and we will help you. Because we know that there's sometimes people need additional support. It's not just about going to a classroom at a community college. It's about having a support system and being at readiness at all times. So what we'd like to do now is to close with one of our inspirational statements from St. Teresa. Mother Teresa, she's known for her unconditional love and peace. And let me close with saying, may today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be confident knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing and dance, praise and love. It is there for each and every one of us. Thank you again, White Apple Institute.
All right.
Say I was a little nervous. I'm glad you.
Yeah, I noted that. That's okay. That's all right.
First time did it.
Yes, that's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Oh my God. This is what I brought for you. I figured in your office. Oh, yes. You can hang that right on the wall.
That is what I
love. That's good, sir.
That's what I love. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hello, how are you? Professor Apple is here. How'd you like the show? You did a wonderful job. I just want to tell you that. Let's call Angelo. Let's call and let him know he did a wonderful job. And I'm disappointed that we didn't get Melissa and Tony online. Did you talk to them already? Oh, okay, all right. They probably overslept, and they're gonna want to kick themselves when they wake up. All right, I'm going to have to talk to them about going to bed a little earlier on Friday night. I'll have to take that parenting role. Okay. You can call them. You can call them. And I'll call them, too. Okay? All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I'll talk to you later. Wow. You gotta be right there, you know, you gotta be right there and so just give me a minute to diffuse.
Sure.
Pray that that the work we're doing is reaching the ears and hearts of those out there that are listening. I invited one of our students from Nigeria to call in this morning as a guest, and so I'm hoping they're still having some challenges getting online. I'm getting that they're having trouble getting online. So I'm going to talk to them and find out what's going on and why they're not able to call in. I think it's just because they're not familiar with the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they think they're being disconnected. They're not the airspace. You know, calling, there's an airspace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the music, and then they don't know, do I stay online? Do I try to call back again? You know. So that's why I keep on interjecting while people are to make sure that they have the call-in number,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I hope that doesn't sound disturbing.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, it's appropriate.
It
okay.
is.
It's not rude.
It's not, because even on all talk shows,
yes.
they keep repeating the numbers.
Yes,
still.
Okay. Let's have some breakfast.
Okay.
Okay.
Where is everybody?
Oh, it's just you and I.
Oh.
Yes. I wanted that this morning anyway. I did call one other person, but she hasn't called me back yet. But, and I said to myself when she didn't call back, I said, you know what? This is just going to be nice. We can be nice and have some breakfast together.
Okay. Because I had hoped to see Aaron as well, because I wanted to finish getting her application.
Well, she's not too far from here. I think when we get to just go right over there.
Okay.
Okay. Worst case scenario, I will leave a card in her door. The next move we have, as soon as I can get some helpers over here, is to move this stuff into the office. Yeah.
Okay. You want some coffee? Did you take coffee?
I do.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do you have turkey bacon, sir?
It's in the bag.
It's in the bag?
Oh, okay.
Well, every Saturday they know they can come over. I think that's what I'm going to have Melissa and Tony come here for the call. Because
it's free.
Yes, thank you. Where is that? Yeah. Hi, Anne. Ready? Good. Danita told me to call you and let you know that it's on. So, carry on over. The bacon.
And pancakes.
And pancakes. Yes.
So, Karen's invited too.
Okay, sounds great. And she's Yeah, that Karen is invited also. Okay. I hope to see you soon, okay? All right, bye now. Did Ian last week?
Oh, no.
Okay. He's moving some furniture right now.
Uh-huh.
And she'll see.
Helping somebody, but I'm not
what do they do? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think everything is here. It's both. You want to stay?
No.
Separate. Okay. Yeah, that's enough for me too. Okay.
So
I think we've got it.
So did I mess up,
Anita? Oh, you sounded great.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, you sounded great. You know, I mean, I was trying to keep up with the time because the way we have a time, it'll automatically shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and so there's your plate of the movement. Let's just stay over here so we can talk a little bit more. Oh, a little bit more creamer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And you want, can you go get a cup?
I am.
Yeah.
This
is called Bakeba. It's a coffee from a company called Boca something. But, everybody seems to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
love those
sandals. They're cute. I love the dream. But yeah, EJ was going to see his son off. Mm-hmm.
Going to Europe with
upward mobility or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know the program. It's a college program.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, they're downstairs. Downtown.
So I guess, you know, he was all about it. Mm-hmm. It's time to be playing
about. Oh, yeah.
So you went swimming yesterday.
Oh, girl, every day. And then, you know, I messed up. I had already done the theme for next week already. It's about faith between the students and the teachers all over the world.
Uh-huh.
That's the actual show for next week.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep it there.
What, you were thinking about changing?
To empowerment. That's one of the shows. And see, I have 52 topics
mm-hmm.
that I designed, and it was actually for a column. Come on, sit over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Up close and personal.
Okay.
Home week. Oh, I'm going to eat some of these. Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't think I can handle that and this, you know. So thank you. Yeah. Oh, these girl, wherever you got these strawberries from, I am telling you, it is beautiful.
I'll bring you some more one day this coming up week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I got the cherries from Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And there's a fruit stand.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
Wow.
And there's a fruit stand in Maricopa.
Right.
And I what I do is take Slim Fast.
Uh-huh.
It's my base, and I put fresh fruit in it.
Right.
You have to try to keep my weight down. Mm-hmm. Being diabetic.
Yeah.
Doctor's always yelling at me.
It even comes out a little crispy.
Uh-huh.
I hope you like it. Yeah.
If I'm running into the problem now where I'm having trouble with my joint fingers.
Really?
You
might want to look at that no interest thing because that I know a lot of people have said that it really is helping them with arthritis. Now let's have a prayer and why don't you lead prayer with me
this
morning, and I wanted to do this. I want to show you something before we do the prayer. So beautiful. It's what I said. Oh my God. It's getting pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the military, they had us running at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. They made sure we had a good breakfast.
Mm-hmm. You needed to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you passed out, probably.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to email this to you, okay?
I was about to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be great.
I hope the syrup's okay.
Sure.
I should get some regular syrup, too.
Okay, I'm all for sugar for you.
No, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I have to try to watch my sugar and salt.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching both, even though, you know, diabetes hasn't called my name.
Mm-hmm.
I have it on both sides of the family, so.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
So when I had, unfortunately, went up to 402 pounds, which I imagine, that was the biggest thing that got me, was that I'm on the way to diabetes, too, along with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So got to slow down. Got to get through this depression.
Yeah, you're through it. It's over.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to calm things into being and just kind of understand that it's over.
It's
you know, Satan
thought
he was a liar.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Did you learn anything from it? Yes. In a way, but I don't know why this has become so important. But when you said something the other day, you said you were going to try your best without any commitment in black and white, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to do that just whatever it tells you. You said you were going to try every quarter to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do with that, if you don't mind, is nobody makes any money with the Institute. We reimburse the volunteer staff for their time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take anything from it. But I would like to set up like a scholarship for you.
For my grandson?
No, for your son.
Oh, bless you. Okay.
I would like that scholarship to be...
You're saying in his name.
In his name.
Okay.
Or, like Angelo, perfect example.
Yeah.
He's going to need a computer. We're going to get a used computer for him. Yeah. And we're going to train him first.
I'm going to have... computer I'm trying to get rid of is old.
Oh, good. Good.
I can just plain give it to him.
Okay.
It's a desktop.
And that'll be part of the foundation.
But I have to figure out a way to, you know, somebody who to transfer the information that I have on it onto a
computer. Oh, I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
I just drop it into a disk for you.
Oh, okay.
I've got plenty of disk in there.
Everything, all of the email.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll
do all the emails.
I'll just bring it next time I come.
Mm-hmm.
Just remind me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's all you need to say was a word. I've been trying to get rid of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Acer, and back then in the day, you know how good Acers were, right?
No, I don't remember them.
You don't remember
the promos on that? No.
Mm-hmm. Because they had the capacity to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you purchased an Acer when you wanted to do more than just emailing and all
mm-hmm.
of that, when
mm-hmm.
you wanted to do networking and all
mm-hmm.
that. That's
okay.
The computer to get.
What software is Windows?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, it's got some years on it.
What's your son's name?
Anthony.
Anthony Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Anthony Duncan will provide... those that come with addiction issues, do you want us to say that? Is that okay? Or just leave it? Whatever you want to
do. A little private. Sorry.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can do that. That's no problem.
Yeah,
and we can make it a broad range. It can be to any of the students
yeah.
if you'd like.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What was his interest particularly? What did he want to do?
In fact, he works with people.
I'm honored that you shared that with me, being that you do keep that private. I didn't. I haven't shared it with anybody because I felt that he gave that to me in confidence. But I wasn't sure how private you wanted to keep it, and I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially people can be crude.
They can be cruel.
Yeah. So we'll keep that between you and okay.
Okay.
And. So tell me, I'm sorry, you said he whipped the people?
Well, he had a really big heart. He
mm-hmm.
he helped people underprivileged, less fortunate.
Really?
Yeah, he fed the hungry.
Really?
He did a lot of things, but he just could not let go. You know, see,
mm-hmm.
that some people cannot let go, maybe overeating, maybe the sexual thing. Whatever.
Remember?
Yeah, his was the drug.
Just trying to get to ease. Remember we talked about that? like we all are, just trying to get to ease.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a disease, you know, depending on what we use.
Right, and he got so far into it, so mm-hmm. he just couldn't get out of it.
But let's have the positive visualization of Anthony.
Yeah.
You know, that was, it's interesting. Anthony was the name that I wanted for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And his father wanted, you know, the continuation of his name.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we named him George Robert Shepherd II, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, but I love Anthony, always
mm-hmm.
did. Or Antoine was another one
mm-hmm.
I loved.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves helping people. That's
yeah.
interesting, because my brother did too. You know, the brother I told you about, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
He was that way too. He worked in the same field.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. With developmental disabilities more. And that's fun. Here's a field where love is just in so much abundance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When people come to us, they usually come responding to the love that most of them have never had. Love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Angela's there. Angela, cardboard box in the streets of New York. Okay? Less than 100 pounds when he was found. With a beard down to his ankles. Himself.
Oh.
So if you can imagine. Now, you didn't see him at the last juice tasting, but when you see him again, you'll see this 250-pound figure that jumps in the water and acts like a walrus with the kids, you know? And he has never had that kind of relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the staff, the institute staff, have kind of embraced Angela, you know? At first, believe it or not, he was actually hitting on me.
Really?
Between you and I. Wasn't that funny?
Oh, yeah.
And I knew immediately that there would be no chance of that, you know, and only because, and I'm not being, well, yeah, I am being prejudiced in a sense, and that's okay to be, because I would involve with anybody that's not now, at least in some kind of social and I don't want to say academic equality, but social equality and a commitment to a higher purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then they won't understand my work, and I'm being with guys that, you know, I wake up sometime at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, students are online, because if they're in an international setting anyway, their time is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they send an email, and I respond to their email. So I'm up writing late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need anybody. What are you doing? You know, and then, of course, when I'm writing grants, oh, forget it. We're locked down. I get a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
We sit at a table, and I give each one of the writers that I've involved a project, a section of the grant that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they begin to write there. I always edit. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Oh,
thanks. Oh. Well, you can eat and run in here. We allow that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Good
morning.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. You want some turkey? You gotta taste turkey, baby.
It's really
how I do it.
And she said, it's really good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Nice, tiny some.
She didn't like turkey bacon.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still.
I'm eating, yeah.
Turkey bacon. Is that turkey sausage or?
That's turkey sausage.
Or soy.
No, didn't put soy in it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Want some pancake? No? It's hard for all of us, bro. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's over there helping you? Is Snake over there?
Mm-hmm. You got time.
Oh, okay. So who's helping you move on?
Well, first of all, you work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my papers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get together sometime next week.
Okay.
Does that make sense? First of all, at the club,
mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I get up.
Yeah, I thought, I said she's not on the call, she's sleeping in late. Isn't that funny? I said that. Okay.
Both all went.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of my neighbors last week.
Okay.
All right, I've already told John and Jan about you.
Mm-hmm.
That you need some furniture for you to come on by and pick out what you want.
I need to ask.